Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. One of the greatest mysteries of life is what happens when we die. Imagine what it would be like to talk to spirits or visit the realm they call home, a realm that we may call home one day too, or a realm that our souls already call home. Well, my guest today has that capability and so many more amazing gifts. Her name is Betsy Lewis, and let me tell you about Betsy. Betsy is an author, internationally renowned psychic medium, Rainbow Vision Network radio show host, and Earth Mysteries investigator. Her first encounter with the supernatural began at age 3, and by age 8, she had her first face-to-face contact with her deceased grandfather. Since then, she has become clairaudient and hears and feels spirits. In her new book, Communicating with the Other Side, True Experiences of a Psychic Medium, Betsy shares her own heartwarming, sometimes poignant and humorous true life experiences. She also shares her compelling validations from the other side, her incredibly accurate premonitions, the times she was saved by invisible hands, and some of the psychic readings that have helped her clients. Betsy will not be giving readings to callers today, but if you have any questions about her psychic abilities or questions about communicating with the other side, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is area code 424-220-1801. Betsy Lewis has had a remarkable life, and I am so happy to have her with us today to talk about her book and share some of her many incredible stories. Hi, Betsy. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Randy. Great to be on your show. I'm glad we could make it today.
Yeah, for those who listened earlier, Betsy and I had a little bit of a mix-up with time. So we rescheduled the show, and we're going to bring you the same show we would have brought you an hour ago, but we're just doing it now. Betsy, I've read your book, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. You have lived a very exciting life.
Oh, my gosh. yeah, it's been incredible, and it still is. You know, there's just been so many things that have happened in my life, and I feel very blessed to have had so many validations from the other side and psychic warnings from my spirit guides. I believe they're my spirit guides that have warned me about major earth events, major news stories before they happen, personal warnings. So, you know, it is a God-given gift, and I, like I said, I feel very blessed.
Yes. So, you, in your book, and you just said that your life was saved multiple times by invisible hands, And yes. Can you describe what happened during these near-death experiences?
Oh, yes. Well, the first event was I was 7 years old, and I was riding my bike. I stopped at this little grocery store and bought one of those big jawbreakers, you know, the hard kind, not the
right.
dumb kind.
Uh-huh.
And I popped it into my mouth, and I hopped on my bike again, and I swallowed it. And I could not breathe. I was choking. No one around to help me. And all of a sudden, I felt someone slap me on the back, and the jawbreaker popped out, dropped to the ground. I turned around. There was no one there. No one. But I felt that slap on my back. And, you know, I just feel that there's invisible hands there, you know, and it's happened so many times. It's incredible. So someone wants me here. And,
yeah, obviously. So have you had other situations like that, similar situations?
Yes, absolutely. The next one, I was probably about 10 years old, and we had a big snowstorm in southern Idaho, and there was a dirt road where they had plowed and had packed all this snow. It was probably about 5 feet tall, this snowbank. So I went out without telling my mom. I went out to play, and I decided to build a snow cave. Now, you can imagine, this is wet snow, heavy wet snow. So I built this cave. And I crawled inside, and as soon as I got inside, the whole thing collapsed on me. And
oh, my God.
Frightening. I was running out of air. You know, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed in this snowbank, and suddenly I just felt someone pick me up from this heavy snow, and before I knew it, I was standing outside the snowbank, breathing again. I'm going, I was just in amazed. I couldn't believe what had just happened. So, I ran and told my, I didn't tell my mother. I was too embarrassed to tell her what had happened, but I knew that, I was saved by, my spirit guides, perhaps even my grandfather who came to visit me after his death when I was 8 years old. So, it's just been incredible. And there's been so many other times throughout my life. Randy, it's just been incredible. I'll relate an experience that happened in 1978. And you probably didn't read about this, but I decided to go with a friend who was working in Wenatchee. He was traveling from Portland to Wenatchee in Washington, and it's about an hour and a half flight, and this is going to be in a single-engine plane, and the weather had turned really bad. This was January of 1978, so we're in the plane. I was sitting next to the pilot, and he and his friend were sitting in back, and everything started icing up. Now, with major airplanes that they will not go anywhere. They have de-icers now, but in 1978, this is a little plane. We're up in the sky. We're in a huge snowstorm. Everything is icing up, and the pilot's trying to make a joke of what's going on. He is perspiring so much. I knew we were in major trouble, and, so many planes, light planes, single-engine planes have gone down because of snowstorms, and we're flying over major mountains, and, I just kept praying. I prayed and prayed, and somehow we got through, and then we landed in Wenatchee, which had 2 feet of snow on the runway. So I just know that we were saved. It was just another event that happened. So,
right. Would you attribute these saving events to angels, maybe?
Yes, angels or my spirit guides. I don't know who, but, when I was little, when I was 3 years old, my mother told me that I had two invisible playmates, and I gave them cute little names, children's names, but I described them. They would give me secret messages, which I wouldn't share with her, and they seemed quite real to me, and I believe so many children see spirits when they're that age, up until about seven. And I certainly did.
Yeah, my daughter did, too, until she was about six,
really?
Six and a half. Until she started first grade, yes. She had two invisible friends named Winnie and
uh-huh.
Bobbit. And Winnie and Bobbitt were so real to her, and I, you know, perpetuated that. I never denied her that. She pushed them on swings. I mean, she really saw them, and she could describe them to me. Now she's 29 years old, and she doesn't remember them at all. She knows she had them, but she doesn't remember them.
That's quite normal.
Yeah. So, okay, so you had your first spirit communication at age 3, and your second one was a visitation by your grandfather. What was that about? Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, I was 8 years old at the time. I love my grandfather so much. We're both Pisces, so I had that bond with him, and he'd always make me laugh. He called me his little kooks. I don't know why, but maybe he must have seen something, you know, really different in me. But anyway, he passed away suddenly. He was in northern Nevada where he had mining property, and he was walking up a hill and died of a massive heart attack. And I was so overcome with grief, and I wanted to talk to him one more time. And it was just probably a few days later that I heard noises in our house, and it was really weird that there was a cup that fell over in the bathroom, and I woke up and turned over, and I could see this kind of white gauzy form of a man standing beside my bed, and I thought it looked very much like my father did, and so I was so frightened, you know, to see something like that, and I tried to yell out, but I was just so frightened I couldn't find my voice, and I pulled the covers over my head, and I didn't resurface until the next morning, and that's when I told my mother about the spirit visitation, and she says, well, I bet that was your grandfather visiting, and she pulled out an album of photos and showed me a photo of him when he was much younger in military uniform, and it was him. I think if he would have appeared to me when he was much heavier and older, I would have recognized him. But, you know, seeing him so much younger, I didn't. And after that, again, I asked him never to appear to me like that again, and he didn't. But I started hearing voices at that time. I became clairaudient, and I still hear these voices that wake me up in the morning. Sometimes it's a male voice. Sometimes it's a woman's voice. They just yell out my name, and I had to tell them, you know, spirits, you know, let me get some sleep here. You know, if you have something really important to tell me, it's okay. But, you know, otherwise, don't. But my father came one morning and just yelled out my name. And I knew that about that time my sister was quite ill and living in Argentina, and I knew that he was telling me that she was going to pass on, and she did. So I had that warning.
Had your father passed on at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
He had passed away in 1985, and my sister passed away in 2003. But he came through, and he was very close. My sister was very close to him, so I knew. And what's really validated that he was there is my sister passed away on his birthday. So what kind of, you know, isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, you said in your book that as a child you always felt your younger sister Kathy would not live very long, and you had a premonition of her death and how she returned, and then she returned after dying to validate the other side. Yeah, so tell us about that.
Well, when I was very little, it was just so strange that I just knew that she was going to pass away, and I thought she was going to pass away very young as a child. And so one day I just made her walk backwards for a day, which was silly, childish stuff. I thought I could change her destiny, you know, and she did that. She couldn't step on any cracks. And, of course, she obliged me and did that. But she passed away at 50, and I do think that is young. But since then, she has come back so many times. And, you know, I just feel her loving spirit around me all the time. And shortly after her death, she made a little tree shake where we were living at the time. And it was just amazing. We had some of her chimes on this little tree. The tree was just kind of a sapling that didn't survive. And all of a sudden, the tree started shaking violently. And there was no earthquake. There was no wind to explain it. So I said out loud, I said, Kathy, if that's you, would you do it again? You know, so about a week later, it happened again. And so I didn't hear from her shortly after that. You know, it was a long time. And just last year, July 9th, I had this vivid, vivid dream. And I know when I have those kind of dreams that spirit is talking to me or the dream is going to come true. And in the dream, my sister was telling me that she was having a surprise birthday party for me. And I kept arguing with her, saying, Kathy, it's not my birthday. And she kept saying, oh, yes, it is. And just a few hours later, I got a phone call, excuse me, from my sister, not my sister, but I mean from my daughter. And she said that your great-grandson was born on, you know, just that morning. So Kathy, who always loved holidays and birthdays, announced to me that, you know, Eden is the grandson that was born, that he was going to be born that day. So I thought, that's so incredible.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then during the holidays, started with Thanksgiving 2013, that our radio started turning off by itself. And it would do it at certain times. At first we thought, well, maybe there's some electrical thing going on with the radio, but it kept happening. You know, whenever we'd mention her name, it would turn off, or I'd walk near the radio, we'd have the cool oldies 60s and 70s radio station on, and the first time it happened, the music that was playing was Kathy's Clown, and I used to sing that to my sister. I kind of tease her about it, and that was the first time the radio turned off. But other strange things started happening about that time. Our cat actually freaked out in the hallway where we have a photo of her, and he was looking up at the photo, and his hair was on end, and he was hissing, and I said, Comet, it's okay, it's just Kathy. And he just settled down like he knew what I was saying, and I thought that was another validation. And then she turned off my husband's computer. I mean, there was just a lot of activity. I thought, well, maybe she's telling me someone's going to pass over in the family, or, you know. And I just, you know, I wasn't working on this book at the time, and something told me that she wanted me to write this book. And so I started thinking, well, maybe that's it, you know, because I was working on another book, Earth Energy, and it still has continued. I'll tell you something else. This is a great story, too. And it was May 18th of this year that my husband, it was on a Sunday that we watched CBS's morning show, and they had a segment on happy faces and how people use the icon in their emails, right?
Right.
And, what's really funny, we had talked about it, and my husband said, oh, I have clients who do that all the time. So later that morning, my husband's in his office and I'm in my office, and he comes running down the hall and he says, look at this. And he shows me a coaster that he has his water glass on, and on the glass or on the coaster was this happy face. And we went, oh my goodness, she was listening and gave us a happy face.
My goodness. How comforting
to know
that your sister is with you so much.
I know. I love it. And then on May 26th, Labor Day, Memorial Day, I was on Coast to Coast. I was going to be on later that night. And Kathy turned off the radio twice. It was at 7 and then at 9:30. So I thought, well, maybe she wants me to capture her on video. So I went in there and I set up my laptop and started the video and said, Kathy, you know, if you can show me that you're there, please make yourself known. And I left the room, and what I captured looks like an image of someone walking across, you know, in front of the the radio, and then walking backwards. And I thought, oh, my gosh, she's telling me, you know, you know, about what I used to do to her,
you
know, when I
do.
Was trying to save her life. Isn't that amazing?
It is so fascinating.
So,
it is. So
I love it.
Yeah, you know, that's really great because many people who have gifts like yours or similar to yours, it just feels so everyday to them. And to
mm-hmm.
us that mm-hmm. don't have those gifts, you know, we just find it super fascinating. So it's refreshing to hear that you do enjoy these encounters and things like that.
I do. And, you know, I've always felt that way that, you know, after I got older and I realized that I wasn't going to be harmed and they're not dark and horrible, you know, because I've never had any dark or horrible experiences. You know, people say they're the demons and everything. I haven't experienced that. I've only felt loving energies around me, and I'm so thankful for that. Like I said, I've had so many warnings of major events through the years, and you know, I think we all get some kind of communication from our family, departed family, and it could be in a dream, a vivid dream where we dream that, you know, they're alive and talking to us. I think that is their validation because the spirit world is, they're right here with us. We can't see them, but their vibration is different than ours, and that's why we can't see them. A lot of times they make their vibrations known to us. They slow down their vibrations so we can see them. They come to us when there's something they want us to know, and you know, a lot of times when you smell maybe a perfume that a departed family member or friend wore, that's not your imagination. That's true. You're getting that validation that they're still there. Have you ever experienced that, Randy?
Yes, actually I have. I've had my lights, things happen with my lights. Like one night, my husband tapped me and woke me up, and he's pointing up at the ceiling, and the light is on, full on. Now, it never happened before. It never happened since, but the light's on. Okay. So if that was one thing, okay, fine. Another night, and this was all happening when I was writing my memoir about my ex-husband who had passed, okay? And I knew he was with me because he was filling in a lot of blanks for me. So in the middle of the night, I got up to get a drink of water, and I was heading back towards my bedroom, and the same thing happened in my dining room. The light just went on, and then it went off, and I was freaked. I ran back to my bed. I knew it was him. I knew it was him.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and then I had a reading with a medium who, and we asked him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I do that, plus many more things. But, yes, and I've had dreams, and I know that the difference is that those dreams are so vivid that you remember them 10 years from them exactly as you did that morning.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we think the other side, you know, so many people are afraid of it, but I think we're deader now than the other side. The other side is more alive. I mean, I believe there are classes on the other side when we get on there. You know, our personalities don't change when we pass over. We still retain the personalities. Like my sister had a great sense of humor, and of course, with a happy face and some of the other things she's done, she still has that great sense of humor, her little prankster type personality. And,
that's so funny.
You know, and so we are evolving. I mean, the other side is so close, and our loved ones do watch over us. They're not there every minute, but when we call on them, when we think of them, they're there, and they do watch over us.
I definitely agree with that. And I, you know, I do talk to my loved ones as if they're right here.
They are.
Yeah. So you've had some really interesting experiences, and one was the dripping rainbow. Can you tell us about that? Because that was very strange.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, my mother and I, my father had passed away in 85, and shortly after that, my stepfather, Maurice Blatty, who was related to, is the was the brother of William Peter Blatty that wrote The Exorcist, and they had both passed away within a couple of months of each other. And my mother and I were unloading some groceries on August 7th. I've always had things happen on the 7th. You know, that's kind of my number. But it was a hot day in Los Angeles. There were the cumulus clouds. They look kind of like what I call angel clouds, you know, where the crystals are kind of falling from the sky and dripping down. But about the 1 o'clock position in the sky, there was a rainbow band with 4 distinct colors. And it, what's really weird is that, you know, we watched it, but behind there was a purple band, and it looked kind of like an eye. It was kind of open, which was interesting, and behind the band was what looked like a cigar-shaped cloud. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so my mom and I just sat there and watched it. You know, we couldn't take our eyes off of it. And what's really interesting is each color, the red, I'm trying to remember all the different colors, the blue was at the bottom, this iridescent blue, yellow and red, and each color would suddenly drip down into the next, and then the next color would drip down into the next color and the next, and they would slowly fade out, and then one by one they would keep doing this. They would become brilliant again and then fade out and drip into the next one. And I'm going, what in the world? In fact, I called someone downtown LA to see if they could see it, and they said no. And we continued to watch it. This was a half an hour. This kept going on. I think it was like a meltdown, and then it would become brilliant. Each color would just individually become brilliant. But at the very end, the half an hour, suddenly the blue at the bottom just became brilliant, like almost brilliant white, and shot off to the east. And the whole thing disappeared, and I'm going, excuse me, what was that?
You must have been standing there with your mouth hung wide open.
I thought, what did we just see? What did we witness? And I called UCLA and talked to the meteorology department. And, you know, they said, well, maybe it was a sun dog, which couldn't have been. You know, that's just, you know, from the ice crystals around the sun. This was not around the sun, and it was just, like I said, a rainbow band. It wasn't the arced rainbow. It was something I'll never forget.
I guess you wouldn't. I wouldn't forget that either.
Yeah.
I love rainbows, but my gosh, that's not a rainbow. That's something else.
And if my mom hadn't been there that day, I would have thought I was imagining the whole thing. And there was nothing in the paper about it, nothing on television. So I'm not sure what we witnessed that day, but I thought it was a very special, you know, sign, you know. Mm-hmm. That
was there any significance with rainbows and your father? I mean, could you make a connection with that at all?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. But I've seen some incredible rainbows, so I always felt that, you know, that was my totem. My rainbows
mm-hmm.
are my totem, and they're just
a beautiful
one. Sophie healing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned that your mother was married to Maurice Blatty, who was the older brother of William Peter Blatty, the author of The Exorcist, which is amazing.
Yes.
And you discovered that Bill Blatty was fascinated with the paranormal and that he experienced strange phenomena after his mother passed. And so he played around with reel-to-reel tapes and captured something. Can you tell us what that was?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that's really interesting. He said after his mother passed away that phones, he would see his phone just fly off the receiver. It would, there was just things that would float around in his room, in the living room. And he decided to start using reel-to-reel tapes to pick up spirit messages, which is EVP, electronic voice phenomenon. And what he found was the first thing that he asked was, does God exist? And the microphone, when he replayed it at a higher setting, he heard the word Lacey. And the second time he replayed the tape at a higher speed, he heard the words hope it, which he thought referred to his original question. And some of the experiments were like phrases that were given were, I know what you're thinking, and there's no space here, make them pray, Bill. And, you know, he was so engrossed in, you know, all of this going on with his reel-to-reel tape messages, he sent it to a friend at Columbia University who ran it through a spectrograph, and the analysis revealed the voice wasn't human. They said in order to create such an effect, an artificial larynx had to be built and programmed to say those words. So, you know, when we, you know, I think someday, I've always believed this, that someday we will be able to communicate with the other side, because, like I said, the only thing that separates us is vibration, and everything is vibration in this world and other worlds that I believe are out there. So someday you're going to pick up the phone and say hello, you know, to your deceased,
you know, I do too,
whoever.
And, right, and
you?
And I like to do these shows because it makes people more aware, because these phenomenon can be happening around them and they just may not even notice it. I mean, sometimes it's so subtle, but it's odd, and you just go, oh, well, maybe, you know. But I like to make people aware, because I do think that it is wonderful if we can acknowledge that our loved ones who have crossed over mm-hmm. are with us. I think it's very comforting to them as well as us.
Right.
You know, I've had some angel experiences and things like that were amazing. So I'm absolutely sure that we can communicate with them, and it's just a matter of paying attention, listening to the voices in your head, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So did William Blatty, was he interested in this before he wrote The Exorcist, or did this come after he wrote The Exorcist?
No, this is before. He was always interested in the paranormal. And what a lot of people don't realize about William Peter Blatty is that he was known for his comedy screenplays, like What Did You Do in the War, Daddy? And Pink Panther. He wrote some of those screenplays. And he was well known for that. So he decided to write this book to prove to Hollywood that he could write something serious. And, you know, of course, it became one of the biggest and scariest horror movies of all time. And
that's right.
You know, I some of it was pretty dark, and I don't agree with some of the things that he had in there, but he did make people aware that there are dark forces out there, and I think that's really important that people know that. You know, he based it on a true story of a little boy that was possessed, and of course he embellished his story quite a bit with what went on, but it does happen. There are dark forces out there. And, you know, I think it's important that we know about it. You know, I think those dark forces can inhabit people that are, you know, that lower their vibration through drugs and alcohol and, you know, mentally ill, sometimes children, because they are so impressionable. So, you know, they do exist.
Yeah, I've seen people go from just really angelic to so evil, you know, and it just mm-hmm. it's so apparent mm-hmm. to me that they have just succumbed to the dark side.
Yes.
And I totally believe that we have to be very careful not to allow mm-hmm. that into our lives. There's a really, really interesting story you told. This is kind of chilling. In 1966, you were given a tour of a rock star's home in Beverly Hills, and you
yes.
had this foreboding feeling about it. So, and something had really happened there. So can you tell us about that story?
Yes. Well, my sister and I were living with my great aunt for the year. My parents were going through some marital problems, and they thought if we lived with the great aunt for a year, they could settle things. And So I found out that Mark Lindsay, who was the lead singer of Paul Revere and the Raiders,
right,
rock group, they lived, Mark Lindsay lived in Beverly Hills, and I found out he was living with Terry Melcher, who was Doris Day's son. He was a music producer, and Terry was dating Candace Bergen at the time, so they lived in this house in Beverly Hills off of Benedict Canyon. And I had a friend that knew exactly where he lived and drove me up there, because I met Paul Revere and the Raiders and Mark Lindsay during the 60s when my father owned a resort, my parents owned this resort, and they played there. So I knew them and I wanted to say hello. So she drove me up to this house one day, and I rang the buzzer on the gate. It was a gated house, and no one came to the gate, and I kept buzzing. I was kind of persistent, and finally a man appeared, and he said he was the caretaker, and that Mark Lindsay and everyone was, you know, they were out somewhere traveling. They were just out of town, and if I wanted a tour, he'd give me a tour of the house. And I thought, oh, okay, great, why not? So he took me in the house, and it was a beautiful home on this hillside on Cielo Drive, and he took me inside. It was kind of dark in there, but the instant I walked in there, it's hard to explain, I just felt this dark, horrible, ominous feeling that something dark was in that house. Something, I don't know if I was picking up some future event, I didn't know, but I just wanted to get out of there so fast. There was something that bothered me. And what's really strange is 3 years later, on August 9th of 1969, Sharon Tate, the wife of Roman Polanski, she was 8 months pregnant at the time, caretaker, Stephen Parent, hairdresser Jay Sebring, and Abigail Folger, and another person were there, and Charles Manson didn't do it, but he had his family, his satanic family, go in and murder these people. It was the most horrific murder in L.A. history. And, you know, when I think about that I was in that house, it just gives me chills. That house no longer stands. It was torn down. A new house was built up there, another huge mansion. But what's really interesting is that Roman Polanski wrote the dark novel Rosemary's Baby that was made into a movie. I think they've got even a TV series coming out about it. Right. And Cielo means, in Spanish, means heaven or sky, which is really weird. But people have claimed that that area, there's some kind of dark energy that resides up there. And
oh, creepy.
It was.
Creepy.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're getting close to the end, but I do want to tell everybody that's listening that the book Communicating with the Other Side is very, very fascinating. And Betsy tells these stories that she's talking to us about now, but she tells many more. There's so much we couldn't cover because we didn't really have that much time. Betsy, I want to give you the opportunity to tell everyone how they can get your book or books, because I know you have more than one, and your website and all those things.
Oh, sure. My website is BetsyLewis.com, and Betsy is spelled a little bit different. It's BetsyLewis. Lewis is LEWIS.com. I have my books on there. You can purchase them on any net bookstore. Amazon, Mystic Revelations of 13 is one of my books, Communicating with the Other Side, True Experiences of a Psychic Medium, and Angels, Aliens, and Prophecy 2. And I have some children's books, 3 children's books that they can check on. And I hope if they go to my website to click on my Earth News 1 blog, because I post my predictions on there. I have been getting a lot of vertigo and dizziness from all these huge earthquakes, and I know that our Earth is going to go through a shift. Randy, and what's really strange is all these in just bizarre things that are going on with our planet right now. You know, I've been posting everything that's going on, the earthquakes, the strange things going on in Yellowstone, the booms that are being heard all over the world. We're being warned, and our earth is being stretched and pulled. And, it, you know, the booms are from all this stretching, this deep core movement that's going on. Our earth is wobbling, and I want people to be prepared. I want them to trust their intuition. I want them to reconnect with earth again. I think it's so important that we trust the animals, because they'll always warn us. And, you know, I dreamed about these things when I was 7 years old. I've known about these things were coming sometime later in my life. And, you know, I still have these dreams of major earth changes, and we're in those times right now.
Wow. Okay. Well, unfortunately, our time is up for today, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad we got to connect.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you.
This was a
thank
great
so
show.
Much.
And again, to my listeners, this is a really good book. So I recommend that you visit Betsy's website and purchase it. So thanks again, Betsy.
Thank you, Randy. It's been great.
Okay. Hope we cross paths soon.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Okay. So unfortunately, our time is up for today. But if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE. loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. Please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. There's a button that says follow on each show page. Just click it and you can become my follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. I'm also available to talk about any life issues that you're having, and I'm doing a complimentary session, 1-hour session for anybody that contacts me before July 15th on clarity.fm/randy-g-fine/great 422. That's clarity.fm/randy-g-fine/great 422. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be